Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Get ready.
You ready?
Ready.
Ready.
We're ready.
I'm ready. 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 Ready.
Are you ready?
Get ready.
3, 2, 1.
Ready?
Yes.
So
ready.
This is St. Louis's News Radio.
I'm ready.
And this is Overtime.
Okay. I'm ready.
Hey, it is overtime on a Friday morning, and I am not Debbie Monterey.
What's up with this?
I know.
Amy Markscorson, studio with Hancock and Kelly.
What's happening?
They had to call in the reserves, like far down, like a fourth string quarterback. But I'm here along with Michael Kelly.
Hey now.
And John Hancock.
Yeah. Speaking of fourth string, here I am.
Glad you guys could make it in.
Glad to be here.
So we've got the JV team here for overtime. Like
totally.
It's just
speak
me.
For yourselves.
Oh well. Well, speaking of speaking for yourself, Mick Mulvaney, the acting White House chief of staff, threw the Trump administration's defense against impeachment into, well, a little bit of disarray yesterday when he said that the White House withheld nearly $400 million in military aid to the Ukraine to further President Trump's political interests. So this declaration by Mr. Mulvaney, which he took back later in the day, undercut Trump's repeated denials of a quid pro quo. How does Mr. Mulvaney's statements impact the impeachment inquiry, Michael?
Well, it was unbelievable, the exchange. I mean, it went on for 3 minutes with, I think the reporter was Carl. John Carl from ABC, who even said to him, Mr. Mulvaney, what you're relaying is a quid pro quo. He said, absolutely. And he says, so you're saying it was a quid pro quo? He goes, yes, get over it. It happens all the time. So what does I think this means? I think not only did he expose the president, but he co-signed to the confession as it's going to relate to this president's impeachment.
We got to come up with a new name for this thing. Quid pro quo. Who can say that? Nobody can say that.
It's
hard
to say.
You got to slow down in order to say. You can't just go in and say quid pro quo. Nobody can do that.
QPQ.
So, we got to have a new name for this thing. And having said that, it certainly does appear to be a quid pro quo. And you know, Mulvaney was dumb to say what he said. And but here's the other thing that should not be lost in all of this. We gave the aid to Ukraine. And so they held it up for, I think it was 2 weeks. That was wrong. But we did give the aid to the Ukraine. And so if it was a quote, 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 then it wasn't a very effective
Michael, go
one.
Clean your room. No, Mom, I'm not going to clean my room. I go out. I'm still going to get grounded, even though tomorrow I wind up cleaning my room. Come on, John. Guys broke. He admitted that he broke the law. And the thing that was the most insulting to me,
yeah,
was that 2 hours later the White House puts out a notice and says he didn't say that. This is just fake news.
Well, he did
and
say it.
He did say it.
Did.
It's just how dumb do they think the American people are? Clearly, the Trump supporters are dumb because they'll believe it. But the man said it right there and was even questioned back. Do you understand what you just said? And he said, absolutely,
well,
get over it.
The point he was making is that it is a diplomatic tactic to say, if you want our support, we need you to do X. The problem here is that the X in this case was investigating your political opponent. And if the X had been free political prisoners in your country that, you know, are American citizens or you're not getting the aid, that's also a quick,
But he listed the three things, and one of them was the investigation, which would have benefited the president, which is illegal.
Well, Mulvaney, what he confessed to was over the investigation of the DNC server. He didn't mention Biden's kid in his quote thing. And so there
I'll just
you go.
Remind you that the president, when he ran, and I know all you Trumpers are salivating right now wanting to come after me, and maybe after John Hancock, because there really is no defense for this stuff. But the president promised he was going to pick the very best people. Well, here it is, folks. These are the very best people. You're watching it on a daily basis.
Well, John, from your point of view, what is Mulvaney's motivation in saying what he did? I mean, it couldn't have been colossal absent-mindedness. There had to be some intention.
Well, I think what he probably meant to say is that the carrot stick diplomacy is not unusual, and that it's kind of commonplace. Now, this was unusual in the sense that the aid had been appropriated and by Congress, and that's their constitutional job, and B, the stick on the other side of this thing was to investigate your political rival. Now, Mulvaney didn't. He said that the holdup was over the DNC server, you know, which, you know, whatever. He shouldn't have done what he did yesterday, and it doesn't look good at all.
I think this week, you and I have been on the radio how many times?
A couple. A
couple times. How many times have you had to say, he shouldn't have done this?
Oh,
they shouldn't have done this.
A bunch.
Blah, blah, blah. I mean, this is what we've gotten to.
Yeah. No, I'm here.
Chaos president.
All right.
Chaos.
So here's another question. Have done or should he do? The G7 summit. President Trump has awarded the 2020 G7 summit of world leaders to one of his own resorts in Florida. Now, that decision is without precedent in modern American history. The president used his public office to direct a huge contract to himself. The G7 summit will draw hundreds of diplomats, journalists, you've got security personnel. They're all going to be going to the resort during what happens to be one of its slowest months of the year. So a worldwide spotlight for his club. Any issues with the president awarding a summit to his own resort?
No, he rewarded a federal contract to himself, which is a violation of the Emoluments Clause. And
we got to get some better words around
here.
We got
to
quit pro quo over here. Now you got emoluments over there.
This is serious stuff. And let's take a second to think about this. This is June in Miami. So they're saying this is the only place they could go. Have y'all ever been to Miami in June?
I have not.
It's about 110 degrees. The mosquitoes are about the size of a cocker spaniel.
So you're saying there's a reason it's slow.
Yeah, there's a reason it's slow. Well, not to mention that there's bed bugs at Doral, and that's been talked about heavily. But look, this was all about that. This president is running a crime organization. He's violating the law. This, too, is going to wind up in the impeachment stuff. It's just piling up, and I got to tell you, Donald Trump's days in the White House are numbered.
I mean, there's really no defense of this. There just isn't. You don't do this. I predict that this is going to be undone. I was shocked that they actually announced it. You know, I don't know who's advising, who's given the political advice over there. But it's pretty clear to me that they don't have a wealth of political talent working in that White House, because you just don't do that. This is a no-brainer. No.
Overtime with John Hancock, Michael Kelly. I'm Amy Marks-Gores, filling in for the irreplaceable Debbie Monterey.
Where's she at?
I'm not sure.
She could be anywhere.
Wedding.
She's at a wedding.
How about that?
Poor people.
Good
she's going to be dancing the night away.
All right.
Okay. St. Louis Alderwoman Kara Spencer has introduced a bill that would ban guns in city parks. The plan would place it no guns allowed signs in city parks across the area, and police could give violators summons similar to traffic tickets for a $100 fine. So people aren't being arrested, but they'll get slapped with a $100 fine. Spencer predicts pushback from gun rights advocates, but she says the parks carry so many children's activities, but she argues that they could be, quote, child care facilities, which are allowed to prohibit guns under state law. John, do you like this proposed bill?
Oh, this is going to solve the crime problem in St. Louis. This may be the single greatest thing ever to happen in the history of St. Louis in terms of addressing crime. Of course, this isn't going to solve the crime. Look, criminals carry guns. They carry them illegally. They shoot them illegally. They possess them illegally. Banning guns, I mean, fine. This, you know, whatever. But it's not going to, this doesn't address the crime problem.
Yeah, I agree that it doesn't address the crime problem as a whole, but I think it's a part of a piece of what needs to be done. I mean, we've banned smoking in public parks because we think it's detrimental to those who are around smokers. Why wouldn't we ban guns? And what purpose is there to have a gun in Forest Park or Tower Grove Park?
There is no need for it. Somebody comes along and tries to rob you or shoot you or, you know, because the criminals you see have guns and they use guns and they commit crimes with guns. And so, you know, maybe a law-abiding citizen would want to have a gun to protect themselves.
You know, we look at these statistics that come out all the time about how many people are dying in Missouri, how many people are dying in America as it relates to guns. It doesn't happen in other places. It doesn't happen this way in other countries. Maybe I'm not going to be able to unring the bell, but this idea that the justification for more guns is, you know, well, back people have guns. Hey, let's make guns like abortion rare.
Well, it just feels like a Michael Kelly got me. I could move on to another topic that's not on the list, or we could stay with Facebook, which we will. So Facebook lies.
Do whatever you want to do.
I know. You start bringing in guns and abortion, I think those are hot topics for a lot of people. Democratic presidential candidate Elizabeth Warren says Facebook might help President Trump get reelected. She says that she's criticizing Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg for his speech at Georgetown University earlier in the day. Zuckerberg said Facebook doesn't fact-check political ads because it believes people should be able to see for themselves what politicians are saying. So Elizabeth Warren is taking on Zuckerberg. Zuckerberg saying it's not our job to fact-check. Should Facebook fact-check political ads, Michael?
I don't know. Probably not. Right now, you know, ads that run on television are regulated by the FEC. So they have to meet certain requirements. There's no regulation of what can be put on Facebook. So is Zuckerberg required to do it? No. Should he do it? Maybe. But ultimately, I think what we ought to be shifting the conversation to, we ought to be regulating social media so that we can keep that stuff from happening, because clearly they can't police themselves.
Well, what's happened with political speech, and this is ultimately political speech, it ought to be the least encumbered speech that exists. And the least regulated speech that exists. What the federal government has said about television ads is if the campaign is putting it out, if the candidate is putting out a message, even though it may be false, they will not pull those ads. If a third party is putting an ad out that is demonstrably false, and you can prove, and it's got to be beyond a doubt demonstrably false, those ads can and have been pulled over the history of time. That seems to be a reasonable place to deal with political speech. If a candidate wants to say it, wants to pay for it, wants to put it out, and they're putting their name on the ballot, then they can say whatever they want.
Some interesting news regarding America and religion. The country's changing religious landscape now shows fewer Christians and more agnostics, atheists, and those who say they are just nothing in particular. And then this is a nationwide trend that's been seen obviously across the country, including the Midwest. Nationally, 43% of U.S. adults identify with Protestantism, down from 51% in 2009. And one in five, or 20% of American adults, are Catholic, which is down from 23% also in 2009. John, why are more Americans turning away from religion?
Well, religion as a cultural activity is waning. And I think people that are devoted to their faith, I don't think those numbers have gone down. What I think is there's a lot of people that practice religion that just don't do it anymore because the faith is not something that's really a part of their lives and their beings and their attitudes. You know, I think there's long been a difference between adherence to a faith, the deeply held faith, and people that practice religion. And I think the people who practice religion just aren't practicing it like they used to. That's my assessment.
Yeah, I'll yield to you two. You guys are both religious experts and talk about it a lot, both on and off the air with me. But having said that, I mean, this is, you know, most of our religions are based on 6,000-year-old time period. And the more that we learn about the universe, the expansion of it, I think it brings questions into people's heads about what we've learned our entire life being the case. And I have a hard time when I talk to Dr. Arvidsson and all these other folks and learn more about the universe to believe that it, as a Christian, that it was based, you know, solely on one man in the Middle East, et cetera, et cetera. So I think there's just more questions out there.
Well, you know, I think how you can look at the universe and not believe that there's a divine being
That's different. Yeah. I mean, no, people were identifying with what you call religion. I believe in a higher energy. I don't know if his name's Jesus, Buddha, Moses, or what his name is, but there is some higher power that's created everything, the beginning and the end. I'm not sure that some of the myths that—I don't mean myths as in not a true story, but myths in terms of what religion is, which is a story, a collection of stories, is necessarily cutting it
and
anymore.
And life is a quest to find out what the truth
is. Well, and are Americans losing their faith in God, or is St. Louis, are St. Louisans losing their faith in the Cardinals? We'll discuss that one next. It's a Friday morning. That means Hancock and Kelly are in studio. And this is Amy Mark Scores filling in for Debbie Monterey. If you're wondering, where is Debbie? Debbie's at a wedding, so she's probably going to be dancing the night away.
Nice.
Yeah. You know who's not dancing? The St. Louis Cardinals and Cardinals fans in particular. Hmm. So the Cardinals had a 20-year low regular season ratings for their local TV package. And the club's appearance in the first round of the playoffs also drew the lowest ratings in the last seven trips to the divisional round. Now we've found out that the NLCS series had the lowest ratings for any Cardinals series in this century. Why are St. Louisans turning away from Cardinals baseball?
I don't believe they are. I think there's just many other options. You can watch Cardinal games now on MLB.com. You can watch them on YouTube. You don't only have to watch them on FSN.
Fox Sports Go.
Or whatever's showing on the cable companies. And I don't buy into this narrative. I think people were as interested in the Cardinals as they typically are. Now, there may also be some of us who are still riding high about the Blues and weren't going to get focused until later. But I don't buy it. I think it's fake news, John Hancock.
Well, no, you know, I grew up in the 70s. And so the Cardinals in the 70s, I'm old.
Oh, okay.
So the Cardinals in the 70s weren't very good. They had a couple of seasons where they competed, but they didn't make the playoffs, not one time. And the stadium was never full in the 70s. And, we are the best fans in baseball, but you know, this team hadn't been in the postseason for 4 years, so it doesn't surprise me that ratings would be a little lower during the regular season. And then we got in the playoffs, and I do think Michael's right about people watching on other devices and so forth, and so these numbers are a little deceiving, but I'm not surprised that the ratings were down.
This is my personal theory, so there's nothing to back this up, and I'm often wrong, but never in doubt. Do you think St. Louis, the fans are a little fatigued or hungover from the Blues celebration? Because you think of the money that was spent going to games, going to bars, yep, buying paraphernalia, dragging your family, stuffing them in the minivan, dragging them downtown and celebrating. Do you think there was a little bit of fatigue,
sure,
and that the Cardinals baseball playoffs came a little bit too soon?
Yeah, it could very well be. And, you know, the Blues, they won the Stanley Cup on the 12th of June. And the celebration really continued all summer long. And so, I think that had a real impact on what was happening with the Cardinals. And I don't think the Cardinal fan base really thought that this team was going to win the World Series. You know, I don't think we thought we'd get swept.
I'm still
swept,
flying high from the Blues. But I had the privilege of getting to see Lord Stanley's Cup. How about you, Amy?
I did.
I mean, I think most everyone in St. Louis who's a Blues fan wound up seeing the Stanley Cup. It was
Shut up, Kelly.
Wasn't it? When did you get your picture with it?
I didn't see
Hancock,
the cup.
You hung out with it, right?
I never saw the Stanley Cup, and now it's gone.
Huh. You didn't?
No. I'm very upset about it.
I will say this celebration with the Blues was the most accessible celebration I've ever seen, from the players to the cup to the parade to the way they took the cup around the city. This was the People's Championship Parade.
And I got to tell you, this week we saw our fellows show up at the White House, and I thought it was awesome. It was great to see them up there celebrating their championship at the White House.
There was the Stanley Cup again.
Yeah, right.
All right, I'm going to snag your hot takes before we get out of here.
Okay.
Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC of the squad, has now officially endorsed Bernie Sanders. Do you think her endorsement will rejuvenate his lagging campaign?
No.
No.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
How about the revolution? We got to go work on the revolution out there.
For your quick answers, Hancock and Kelly, what are you guys talking about today?
The revolution.
Hey, we talked about flu shots last week. We're going to visit with a friend of both John and I's who nearly died from the flu last year. Wait till you hear this story this morning, folks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.